Welcome to Soulful Conversations with Najeda. Hi, I'm Najeda Chaputo. I am an empowerment and confidence coach, spiritual teacher, and speaker, and author as well. Welcome. I love to dance. This song was by a Haitian artist, Jay Perry. I am Haitian American. I am so thankful for him for allowing me to use his music. It's called Kia Suye, which is who you are. It's really saying, who are you? And you're saying, people are saying they're Haitian. So that's pretty much the song is about. And I'm, aside from dancing, I'm also passionate about social justice, spirituality, and politics and social issues. I'm also passionate about, I love nature, the beach. If you follow me on social media, you'll know this about me. I'm also passionate about empowering women and really embracing who they are, being their authentic self and speaking their truth. As a coach, I help ambitious and purpose-driven women who know they are meant for more, reconnect with themselves, use their voice, which is how you find your voice, which is how they find their voice, and also uncover their mission and vision in order to make the impact they were born to make in the world. And I've also recently added to, in addition to helping women find their voice, I also give a voice to employees in organizations by offering services in inclusion, diversity, and equity, because many minorities' voices are not being heard because the culture of the organization is not an inclusive culture. So that's what I do. So I am so excited about my guest today. She actually joined me. This is her second time joining me. Kat Kim, who is definitely a soul sister. She is a licensed New Thought spiritual practitioner, divine confidence coach, and creator of the Soul of Beauty Masterclass. Kat works with nonconformist spiritual seekers like me. I'm totally a
holler. Yes.
And for seekers who know deep within their bones they are being called to make a contribution to society, discover an unshakable faith in knowing who they are and what they're here to do. Awesome. Kat has served on the set of Dwayne The Rock Johnson's motivational reality show called Wake Up Call. I need to put my glasses on, right? Wake Up Call, that aired nationally on TNT and is currently, and she's currently a minister in training with a sailor's mouth. Welcome again, Kat. I'm so excited to have you here again.
Hello. We're talking all the time anyway, right? So this is just going to be recorded this time, which I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
I know, right?
Yeah. But I'm so happy to be here. And it's always so fun talking to you. It's like every time we talk, I learn something from our discussions. It's like we go deeper and deeper and deeper. And I just appreciate that so much about our conversations. Truly, like a soul sister, you know what I mean? Like,
I know, definitely.
And there's no expectations between either of us or anything like that. It's just really unconditional friendship that I think we just kind of fell into.
Random. Yes.
Well, actually, it wasn't random. It was because we were really both interested in the topic or the intersection of spirituality and social justice, right? That's what brought us together over a year ago.
Yes.
That's when it really started blowing up, and you and I were both kind of talking about this, and that's what brought us together. And that's when we did our first interview.
Totally, yes. Well, after I was like stalking you, because I was, remember?
Yeah.
I was like, she's talking about this. I need to get her on my podcast. So totally. Yes. Yeah. And I do want to say before, you know, for those people who are, you know, people who are listening to us, you've listened to us on my website, you're watching us. Those of you who are listening on Apple Podcasts, you know, Kat is actually, I specifically wanted her to join me this one because I'm going to be taking a short break, about a month and a half, because I'm going to be changing some of the content with my podcast. So we're going to be having more of these type of conversations. I really just really want to bring people in where we're going to be having the hard conversations. Obviously, we always talk about them in a light way and love, but really, I'm just really going to be more brave.
Ooh, yeah.
With my podcast. So I really wanted to, you know, 2 weeks ago, I had a conversation on inclusion and wellness and diversity and equity in the workspace, and where we talked about unpacking white supremacy. So I really want to be a lot more bold. So I'm really, so just so you know, there's going to be some changes, although from the beginning we were having some of these type of conversations, but it's just that it's gonna be a lot more of it. So I just wanted to say that. So Kat, since you were here the last time, I know there's something that you that is very dear and near to you, and you've been talking about, you and I have started talking about it, which is this whole thing that you actually, you call it consumer capitalism?
Consumer spirituality.
Spirituality, sorry. Consumer spirituality. So
yeah.
Tell us about that.
Oh my goodness. Well, let's just backtrack a little bit, because I think this is something that you and I are both experiencing right now. And I'm pretty damn sure it's not just you and I. There's a lot of people who are experiencing this. So you and I, we come from the entrepreneurial world. You know, yes. Like we have these online businesses, and we come from a place where we want to help people. And in doing so, we want to make money doing it. Yes. And I've been a coach for over 10 years, and I've been in this industry for probably 6 years now.
Wow.
And something came to head in the last 6 months or so. But this really all started a year ago. But I began to see that there was a lot of, because also the spiritual industry, which is weird that it's an industry, I noticed that there's a lot of people, of course, there's a lot of people who are interested in developing their spiritual path and all of that. But what I began to notice was that there was this conflation of spirituality and business, and those two things coming together. And in this Western world right now, those two things almost are not separate. And what we see out there so much is that people who are spiritual leaders, quote unquote, are people who are successful in their business. Mm-hmm. And I also noticed, as I was deepening my spiritual studies and going into practitioner studies, which took 3 years, and I got licensed last year, I'm going deeper into my studies, and I'm really seeing that the teachings that are going around, that are being circulated online, or, you know, digitally, or just, you know, that people are consuming these days, primarily have to do with how one can make more money, become better for themselves, or, you know, basically consume something more. What I noticed, it was really all about what can I get for myself. And that's the spiritual teaching that's out there right now. That's what everyone's consuming. And I just started to put things together, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, we are teaching people how to be better consumers, essentially. And that's what I came down to name. I kind of just named it consumer spirituality. Mm-hmm. So this was a big blow to me, because I realized that I was also participating in this. I wasn't free from it. I wasn't like better. I'm not saying I'm better than anyone else. This was actually a big blow. Like, holy, can I cuss, or is this like rated G? Is this?
Like, again,
okay.
I have it on, you know, actually, what is it? YouTube. And actually, I was reviewing as I was getting our stuff ready. I did put a warning the last time. Yeah. But iTunes, which is Apple Podcasts now, they actually have this thing that even if it's in one episode, that there's just this one word, you're supposed to put your podcast as explicit. So my podcast is the explicit, so don't worry.
Right up my alley, because I was about to.
I know, no, no.
Like, I better ask.
No, it's fine.
Pretty much, I just
be you, be free.
Awesome. That's why I love you.
Yes.
But I just realized that I was participating in this consumer spirituality. Not only was I consuming this type of spirituality, where all I was trying to do was make money and be a better, become a thought leader or a successful person, and grow my business. Not only was I consuming spirituality to make that happen for me, but I was also promoting that and teaching it. And I had to take a step back. I was like, wow, is this really what spirituality is about? And I realized it's not. And I also saw that it's happening everywhere right now.
Totally.
So, yeah.
No, it's very true, because it's, you know, it really has become about what can I get more of, and very much of a me and mine.
Yeah. You know?
And yeah. One of the things that I did take a sneak peek. I know there's an article you're going to be sharing at pretty soon. It's going to be public, but I did have a peek at it, where one of the things that you talked about is how, with this whole consumer spirituality, we're being taught in a way to be very much individual, like not thinking about the collective, not thinking about other people and what's going on and people's suffering around us. And I know you and I have talked about how one of the things that we're being taught, that we've been taught, and it's kind of like, don't focus on what's happening.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, anything that's low vibe, anything that's like negative energy is like, don't talk about it. Don't focus about it. In which is why, in some way, you know, the other day I shared that with my email list, is that we've become a disconnected society.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the definition of consumer spirituality specifically is that it's the mainstream pop culture spirituality of today that essentially trains us to be better consumers. And it inadvertently perpetuates blind conformity to the dominating and oppressive structures of global corporate capitalism. Mm-hmm. And there's four parts to consumer spirituality. There's like four pillars to it. One of them is that consumer spirituality appropriates and it commodifies ancient spiritual teachings. So we end up cherry picking the positive aspects of spiritual traditions, and we package them and we sell them so that they're palatable and that they're easily consumed by us, by the Western world, right? Mm-hmm. And this is essentially cultural theft, and it's appropriation. And instead of teaching us to do good and be good, all it does is it teaches us to feel good. And it's like, it becomes like an ego-soothing drug rather than an ego-dissolving journey, which is really what spirituality is essentially about. A spiritual journey is not about gaining something. In many ways, it's about letting go of our ideas of what we're supposed to be like, letting go of our attachments to material things, letting go of even our ideas of what relationships should be like or how people should be, all of that. So that's one pillar to it, that it appropriates and commodifies ancient spiritual teachings. The second part, which you were referring to, is that consumer spirituality, it promotes self-interest and personal development and radical individualism over all else. So it's not, spirituality these days in the Western world is not being taught to alleviate collective suffering and create social change, right? But it's being taught as a way to become more personally comfortable or productive. Or efficient or wealthy.
Yes.
Right? And it's like, it's the emphasis is totally placed on the needs of the individual, which pretty much lends to like a justification for selfishness. And that's what we're experiencing, so much of us, and me included. I'm just as much part of this as anyone else. And what this does is it takes away the opportunities for meaningful connection and contribution, which are really essential to spiritual growth.
Totally. And you know, actually, there, as I knew we were going to talk today, So this week, was it this week? I don't remember because it's only Tuesday. So maybe it was over the weekend or while I was on my break. So one day I was actually, you know, I was like, let me, you know, I was like on YouTube. I'm like, let me listen to something inspirational. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was this thing of like how to attract what you want, you know?
Yeah.
And it was actually one of my teachers that I really, you know, appreciate. And I, you know, actually he passed, Dr. Wayne Dyer. Mm-hmm. And he's actually one of the people for me that has really helped me embrace the law of attraction because I couldn't fully resonate with Abraham Hicks. But here's the thing, because this year has been for me, you know, started last year and even more this year has been really unpacking a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. not just racial stuff, but also the studies, like you were saying, some of the stuff that we've been taught and like really saying, wait a minute, that's not really aligned with me and who I am as somebody who's pro-social justice, somebody who's for contribution. So really like, so as I'm listening to this, he was like saying, you know, that's why I don't listen to the news. And I was like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I was just like, wait a minute. And I felt like I wanted to like be able to talk to him because I was thinking to myself, I do understand the whole thing about your thoughts create your reality. Mm-hmm. I do understand. And really, you know, doing our best to not focus, like remain focused. Like I know for me, I care about what's happening in our society and everything, and I'm very much engaged, but I allow myself the space to not get sucked in, like that's the only thing I do, you know, is to be consumed by it. But I was just thinking also that if we're telling people to not watch the news, in some way, we're actually telling people to be totally disconnected. And if we're seeing so many things that have been happening and that are still happening today that you and I are talking, you know, there's just so many things happening. Like, let's just, you know, if we think about the kids who are being separated from their parents, if we don't know what's going on, how are we supposed to do something about it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it got me thinking and I was like, I'm going to ask Kat because I was thinking to myself because, you know, for me, not only as a coach, as a teacher, you know, I was thinking, how do we, you know, I was like, okay, how do we, like, I know for myself what I do, but it's like when I'm talking to people, especially people who are not as, I don't want to use the word evolve, but basically I've been in my spiritual journey, you know, well, I guess consciously, you know, much longer than them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How do we, you know, how do we share this message with them? Like having that, I guess it's a balance of like really being mindful of your thoughts and also, but don't become like completely, totally connected because, you know, and I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. I even thought about writing it down as the thought came up, but it was just like, I felt like there was some conflict.
I understand what you're saying. And this is, I want to make it really clear too, that when I talk about consumer spirituality and that it has these four aspects and, you know, it appropriates and commodifies, et cetera, I want to make it really clear that there's a place and there's a time for the type of spirituality that you and I kind of moved through in the last few years, like law of attraction and learning that your thoughts are very much,
powerful.
They do create your reality in many ways, not all. And this is why it's a very tricky conversation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that's like, you know, it's like spirituality 101. And it's very, very important for someone, let's say, who is going through something and they're just mired in toxicity. And this was the case for me, that I just couldn't seem to get out of my own personal hell and my depression and my own problems. And when I came across these teachings, such as law of attraction and these basic spiritual teachings, I learned that I can take control, or I can take not 100% control. You can never take 100% control because 95% of your thoughts come from your unconscious mind. and you're you don't know what's going on unconsciously, 95% of it. So I learned to know, I learned the techniques to manage, let's just say it that way, to manage my thoughts so that I could be more directive with what I was creating for my reality. And I had amazing impact and manifestations and healing as a result of that. But that's like spirituality 101. And the reason I'm coming out and talking about consumer spirituality now is that we are ready for the next step. Peoples.
Yes.
We are ready. Okay, we went through grade school and kindergarten and first grade spirituality, and I am calling upon people to, like, let's grow the fuck up now and let's move on, because what's calling all of us forth, and I know this is the case for you and I specifically, is that we're being called now to move past our own self-interest and to look at the collective level, what's going on with the people around us, these people who we are inherently divinely connected to. Mm-hmm. And that's the next stage of our spiritual growth for so many people. Of course, there's people who are way beyond us and advanced. And there's also the people who are still learning spirituality 101. I'm just calling it 101, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I love when you say that, because you had written that to me before and I was like, Yeah, 101.
It's 101. There's a time and place for 101, but we're like, we need to graduate from that now. And so in doing so, and when we move on to the next evolution of our spiritual growth, which definitely does include realizing that we are connected to that child in Africa, or that child that is being, I'm trying to find the right words right now, but let's, you know, the children who are caged right now, and they are being torn away from their parents. We are part of that. We are also part of the animal species and the biological species all around the world. It's not just humans, but we are connected to the planet and to everyone and everything and every species around the world. And when we become aware of that, we cannot deny the pain and suffering that's going on, that because that's what's happening to people all around the world and to the planet. And so we must look at that. We have to. That's actually part of the spiritual growth, and it's part of the lessons. We have to feel in our gut and in our hearts and our bones, oh my God, that I can't believe that's happening. And yes, that requires going down a dark path. That requires depression, you know, and existential depression is something that I suffer from a lot, meaning like, what is going on in the world and what is my part in it? You know, I think about those things a lot, even as I am, you know, teaching spiritual principles, but I don't fault myself for it. I see that as myself as expanding into this collective consciousness and becoming more attuned to what's going on. And it hurts. It really, really hurts. And there's a phase where I became very doubtful about, what am I doing? And I'm kind of going through that right now, to be honest. Like, what am I doing with my business? What is this really about my business and about me? Does that really matter when there is someone who's dying out there right now? While we in this Western world are so privileged, by the way, it's because of privilege we can turn on and off the news. You know, that's
totally, totally. You know, it is. Because, it is. It's very true.
Yeah, because in a third world country, you don't have to have a fucking TV on. It's around you. You're living in it.
I grew up in Haiti, and I have to say, like, sometimes I think about it, I'm like, I have trauma from like stuff, because like I grew up in Haiti, like you were saying, there was a lot of in political instability. So yeah. I would go to school. And in the middle of the day, yeah. My dad would pick us up because there was like shootings, big time protests that just broke out in the streets.
Wow.
So they would pick up, you would see parents starting to pick up their kids, mm-hmm. or you would wake up one in the morning and you were told where you can't go to school today because they're burning tires. Or at night the phone started ringing. Whenever the phone would ring at a particular time in the evening, like for a place like Haiti, at least where I, when I grew up, you know, many years ago, like 10 o'clock, we're like, oh, okay, something's going down. Maybe we're not going to go to school the next day. So what I, you say, in a country like that, you can't just turn off the news.
No, it's there. It's in your
because it's right there. Yeah. You know, so totally what you're saying is that it, right. It's privilege. And now that you're saying that, so I have to tell you, like, actually, I didn't get to share that with you when we were chatting earlier. So, so last night, I was, and actually, the reason why I'm sharing that is because I was, you know, I was thinking about, because of what you were saying, how many of the spiritual leaders are like the way they are teaching and everything. I don't know if you know that guy. I think it's Mike Dudley, the guy from the universe. He sends messages. I don't know if I got the name right.
Dooley.
Okay, I can remember. Because actually, you know what? I wanted to go back to his page and like it because I got caught up in the comments and I almost jumped. So basically, last night before I went to sleep, he posted, he had a thing and he was saying with the whole kids that are being separated and put in cages, he said, that's totally wrong. You need to call, you need to vote. And somebody commented, oh, I thought this was a space free of politics.
Oh.
And I was just thinking, this is not even about politics.
Yeah.
You know? But I was, you know, I think it's definitely privilege. And actually, I had to hold myself back because I mean, you know, but just to say, you were saying is that I also was, you know, I was wondering to myself how many of the people who are quiet, are they also being quiet at times like these because of the pushback? Because you do get pushback by people who follow you.
Yeah. It's very interesting times right now. And I think, you know, it is a time when we're being called to break through our old habits and our old ways in a very, very drastic way. Not like tiptoeing anymore. We did a lot of tiptoeing in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. Now it's like actually breaking through, and that's what's being called. That's what we need to do. We need to make drastic change now. And that requires like stepping out and saying things that you're not comfortable with and getting pushback. And, you know, you and I have talked about this over and over, how it's uncomfortable to speak our truth and to come out and say these things. But I think that's the case. I think everyone is feeling that right now.
Totally. I think sometimes there are things that people don't talk about, but I think that for most of us, for many of us, it's like, okay, when we see children, then I think most people who have kept quiet, you know, are coming out publicly and talking about it, and they're getting pushed back by some people, which then makes you wonder, are people keeping quiet even before because of the pushback? You know?
Well, there's going to be a lot of, that's a result. That's exactly a result of consumer spirituality, the Mike Dooley and the, not that he was doing this purposefully, and I'm not placing blame, but the person who commented and said, I thought this was a political free zone. She's used to being in a space where it's all about happy feelings. She's used to consuming spirituality that has nothing to do with pain and suffering. And that's, you know, going back to these four pillars of consumer spirituality, one of them is that consumer spirituality neglects humanity. It teaches us to be positive at all times and to seek all these pleasant emotional experiences at all costs, and any uncomfortable emotions like pain or conflict or anger or jealousy or grief, they're called low vibe, right? Or they're negative. And they're cast as the opposite of spiritual enlightenment, when in fact, these are the emotions that are the portal to connecting with human suffering around the world. If we don't allow ourselves to feel pain and suffering, we are shutting off, we are shutting our humanity off. And that's what we see in America right now. We are shutting off our humanity, and we see that being manifested in all this, you know, all the stuff that's happening right now today.
Yes. Right? No, you're right. Totally. It's very true. And, you know, and actually what, not what you're saying, what you were talking about, again, not placing blame mm-hmm. on anybody, but I know for myself, cause you know, I've been, you know, I'm kind of in a transition, mm-hmm. not exactly, but it's just that, and I have been really asking myself, and that's why I decided to take the break. And because I was saying that even though as much as I've been in a way outspoken, I really am seeing that in a way I have been not fully showing all of me and my business.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I know I'm going to lose people. I've already started losing people and it's fine with me, you know, but it's just that I was like, I want to be, I know we all grow and evolve and we change, but I've chosen that I really want my business to represent me. I want my podcast to represent me and really what I'm about, like truly, you know, and because then people can feel like, because I think, I don't know if your thoughts are, what your thoughts are on this, but I think what we have seen, especially, I think I saw it with Oprah Winfrey. Mm-hmm. I think we're seeing it with Beyonce, an example. I mean, although they're not in the same industry as us, but in some way, we're seeing people not really sharing about certain views, but then once they reach a certain status, then that's when they talk about certain things. And I think a lot of people, because sometimes we've been taught, like I know for me, I was, you know, say, oh, don't talk about politics in your business or something. And I was like, what do you mean? You know, but I do think so for me, that's not the route that, at least that's not my path, you know? I really want to really be me. And as I change and grow, I talk about it, but I don't want to be like one person in my business, another person in my personal life or something.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
I just really sense that there's, for myself, I'll just speak for myself, but
I think it's,
I kind of do feel like this is happening to a lot of people though, that,
that
you really can't separate. Okay, I'll just speak from myself, what I'm going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
That going along the lines of what you're saying, that you don't want to be separate from, you know, who you are as a business person and who you are on your podcast, and you just want to be aligned completely. I also...
And personal life.
You know? And your personal life. Yeah, I'm feeling that too, as you know. And it's really turning my business upside down. Because the deeper I go into my spiritual studies and the more aware I become of the consumer capitalist culture and global corporate globalization and how it's affecting countries around the world, it makes it very difficult for me to promote my business and do a business. And talk about spirituality at the same time. And I'm like, oh my God. In fact, I don't even know if I really want to do it anymore. And I'm just saying this like for the first time with you, even though, you know, I've done a video about this before about the personal development industry and the spiritual industry. But I feel a real chasm. Like it doesn't feel right to be teaching spiritual principles and then marketing myself for money. And I think all these years I've been trying to find a way for it to work. And I don't know if that works for me, to be honest. So I guess I'm saying it right here, right now. I don't know if I'm gonna continue. I don't know how it's gonna look moving forward. I can tell you this, I'm so fucking sick of the goddamn business model that I've been trying to fit myself in. I'm so sick of it. I'm so fucking sick of it. I don't give a shit about a $6 or $7 figure business, you know? Like, I'm so tired of seeing that online. And when people connect that with spirituality and thinking positive thoughts, like, like, I don't want to be part of that. If it works for you, that's great. But I don't want to be a part of that. And so it's really causing me to rethink how I'm going to move forward. Am I going to move forward as a coach or a speaker anymore? I don't know. Am I going to continue teaching spirituality? I don't know. If I do, what is it going to look like? And I'm pretty sure it's going to be a different business model. I'm looking at Patreon right now and making it this, maybe, I don't know yet, to be honest, actually. But I think this is the place where a lot of people are moving towards. A lot of people are confused about this. Here's the thing. I don't think that everyone is made to be a business person or an entrepreneur. That's it.
That's very true.
People, but what's happening in this world and this culture is that entrepreneurship, online entrepreneurship, or whatever type of entrepreneurship is glamorized. It's glamorized. And so everybody thinks that they want to take their particular skills and they want to turn it into a business because that's how we are being taught to operate in this world. But it's not going to work for everyone. Let me tell you, I'm looking at you, listener. It's not going to happen for everybody. And I will tell you, in all the coaching programs that I've been in, maybe 5 to 10% of them actually like make money. And I'm talking about the group business coaching programs, right? I don't actually even know the exact percentage, but it would be interesting to know that most people do not make it. As a business entrepreneur, and it's not because you're stupid. It's not because you can't do it. It's simply because it's not what you are being called, what your soul is being called to do. So,
what you're saying is so powerful, and it's so because it's very true. Because sometimes you do have to stop and ask yourself, okay, I've been doing this for quite some time. Why is it not working? Yep. I've invested so much money, you know, and you really, and it could be, and like you said, it could even be that it's not that it's not for you, like in terms of the entrepreneurship, but the way that we've been doing it.
Yes.
Like actually, and you know, being honest, actually, I'm going to share this, you know, I haven't, you know, things haven't really panned out for me the way I would have wanted them to. And I'm about like just, you know, I'm currently getting a course ready, a self-love course. And I'm actually like, I'm really being driven to really have it low cost.
Yeah.
And also to give, like, you know how people put a course and they're not really engaging in it or something?
Yeah.
And really giving it a lot of my time. And then, like, just yesterday, I was talking to somebody, and she was, like, struggling with her meditation stuff, and I was like, maybe I could create another course, but obviously, this is another thing, and you know how we've been taught, oh, you want to be known for this particular thing, but then me, I'm mixing and matching. And it's like, you know, and I've been asking myself, maybe I'm not made for that model that they've taught me.
Yep. That's it.
Because that's not my soul's calling. That's not what I'm, you know, that's not what God wants me to do.
Let me just I'm going to start going off on a rant on this because you know how I go. Not only are most of us not being called to be entrepreneurs, again, it's not because we can't do it. It's because we're being called to do something else. Not only that, but this model that we're trying to fit ourselves into is a model that only works for a small percentage of people. Okay, this model of making 6 or 7 big figure businesses and creating, you know, programs where you leverage your time, you leverage. So what does that mean? That means it's only benefiting me. And there's a good friend of mine wrote about this, and I think I shared it with you.
Yeah, you shared it with me.
Yeah. Amy Carbone is her name. And she wrote about how, this model of leveraging your time means how can I spend less time and make more money, right? By trying to get as many people into my coaching program. Well, who does that really benefit? That only benefits the coach. It only benefits really the person at the top. And what model is that emulating? That's the model of our government. That's the model of our entire economic structure, political economic structure, is that we are all operating under a system that only a handful of people at the very top are benefiting from, and everyone at the bottom is getting their fucking ass just, you know, they're left with nothing. And so this business model that we have been trying to operate under with our businesses online, I saw that as it's the same thing as what's going on a macro level.
Mm-hmm.
And so going back to your point, which I think is really important, is that you can still be an entrepreneur, but you got to find a different way. You got to change your paradigm in terms of how you want to operate. Like, why does it have to be so much about how much money can I extract? How much money can I get with the least amount of time? That's a very, very dangerous model. What about, like, you know, changing your values, first of all? And how about we let go of this fantasy, this bullshit fantasy that we have to make as much money. I know, I get so pissed off. That we have to make as much money as we can and work as little as possible. Because what I know for is so absolutely true, and I'm speaking to all the coaches out there, because the coaching industry has really blown up, right? I strongly believe in the gifts that each of us have. That I know is truth. Yes. That I know is God. It is spirit. It is a divine working through us. And I believe that all of us can be successful in our businesses or as a service person. And that there's enough of us to help each other. We do not all need to fall under one person or a handful of people, you know, and that is a result of that mindset of I have to get as many people as I can.
Yes.
Right? Like, what if it was just, I want to serve, I don't know, 10, 20, 30. The number is relative. It could be 100, whatever, right? But
okay,
we all stopped clamoring to make the most money as we can, this would be a different world.
No, definitely. And, you know, and actually, as you were saying that, you got me thinking about, like, when I'm hearing people say, oh, yeah, you know, I only work like 20 hours a week now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not even so much about, like, how many hours you work or so much about how much money you make. It's about getting really grounded in what our authentic needs are as a soul. Like, who am I? Who am I here to serve? What is my divine contribution?
Mm-hmm.
And how am I going to offer what I have to the world? If we were asking ourselves that question, if we became obsessed about that, this would be a different country right now. But instead, we are obsessed about the opposite. We are obsessed about what can I get for myself?
Mm-hmm.
What's in it for me? That's the narrative that's constantly going on in the back of our mind, whether we realize it or not. And I'm not talking about just entrepreneurs. I'm talking about little kids, you know, and I'm talking about multi-billionaire, you know, CEOs. We've all been indoctrinated into this system of thought control that it's all about scarcity and lack. And what can I get for myself? I have to get something for myself right now. So that's what we're operating under, right?
Totally, totally. You know, there's something that you talked about in your article where you were saying, I can't recall basically, but I think you were talking about businesses or was it corporate? And I like the fact that you talked about that, you know, these things are not being done consciously. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember exactly, because it made me think about this, because this afternoon, I did, I attended a webinar on race equity. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that, you know, the person who was leading the webinar, which was Erica Hines, she said that, you know, organizations are not doing it consciously. Like when there's the wage gap between, you know, with women and other minority groups like Black women and Asian, you know, whatever. And it made me think about your article. And I can't remember, I didn't get to review it again, but it made me think about it because we want to make sure, and I know that's always been your thing, that we're not blaming.
Yeah.
Because I think that people don't even, I'm like, I don't know if maybe, like, for example, if we go back to the spiritual teachers and spiritual leaders, I can't, they're not doing it like, oh, I'm going to do this to harm. No. You know, no, they're not doing it. It's not being done consciously.
It's not doing, it's not at all. And what I was referring to is the large scale corporations.
Yes.
They are inherently built to extract as much money as they can for their shareholders. It's in their law. It's by law, the CEOs and all the corporate, the executives that work for a corporation, under law, they have to do whatever they can to make as much money for the shareholders. So that comes in many different ways. It comes in like paying the employees as little as possible. It comes in, you know, dangerous work situations. It comes in cutting down on healthcare, whatever, all of that. So as you can see, the system of corporations is built for people to make money at the very, very top. So whether you are a CEO that wants to be part of that or not, you're legally obliged to follow those rules. Otherwise, you're going to get fired and then they'll find somebody else. Mm-hmm. So we're all operating under this system, though. That's just, that's just corporate capitalism. But we are all operating under a system of thought control where it's built on how much we can produce and how much we can consume. And we are literally killing ourselves. We are killing ourselves so that we can continue on this vicious, vicious cycle of producing and consuming and producing and consuming. And when I say we are killing ourselves, I'm not exaggerating. And I think everyone knows what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Not Toby.
Yeah. So at a fundamental level, we are all operating under this. And so I, you know, when I started to really understand this, it was actually very healing for me because it helped me to understand that the people who are operating at higher levels in terms of corporations, et cetera, they're operating under this system just as you and I are, you know, and, whether they're doing it consciously or unconsciously, it really doesn't matter. This is the sea that we swim in. We can't avoid it. We can't ignore it, but we must become aware of it. And we got to learn to navigate ourselves in this system.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's one of those things, you know, going back to what you were saying about, you know, entrepreneurs doing, or even coaches, I think that a lot of times, people think, oh, let me do this because that's where the money is.
Yeah.
And then you're not really doing what your soul really is calling on you to do. Yeah. So you either, you're not really, you know, it's not working out, or even if it does work out financially, then you're not fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like something is off with you because you're not doing your soul's calling.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And as a result of this culture that we live in, no matter how much money we have, we are not fulfilled, period. We have to really take a look at that. Why is that? We're the most prosperous, one of the most proper. I mean, it could be a different story now because we're...
I know.
We have access to so many resources. We are a powerful country. We have everything at our fingertips. Why is it that we are so, so mired in our scarcity and lack? Why is that? I mean, we are healthy. We are overly healthy. We have food to eat. We have roofs over our head for the most part, right? Why are we so obsessed with what we don't have? There's something
so many school shootings?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm reading this another book by Matthew Fox, who used to be a he was excommunicated as a as a Catholic priest.
Catholic priest?
Mm. Yeah, because he was dissenting towards his religion. I don't know all the details, but he writes about the liberation of first world countries and the liberation of third world countries and how they're actually very, very different. And he talks about how the U.S. is, and I'm just paraphrasing here, but the U.S. is rich with resources, but they're impoverished in the soul. Mm-hmm. But third world countries, they are completely impoverished with resources, but they will have much more soul. They will understand the connection between people and how people need to work together much more than Americans or the Western world will. So,
and I think that's what's killing us.
Oh, it is what's killing us. And the connection between us and third world countries, it's connected. We cannot, first of all, we cannot help third world countries without helping ourselves first and vice versa. It's all connected, you know?
No, so, totally.
Yeah. So these are really, really big topics, you know?
Yeah. This
is what I think we're being called to like look at now. This is, you know, I didn't know half of the shit that I know now a year ago or 2 years ago. I've just been going really, really deep and I've been really studying and because I've been called to look at this, to really start becoming aware of these social issues. And that's what I'm calling people to do. You know, let's move away from this spirituality of consumerism and materialism, where we're just focusing on ourselves and how much money we can make and blah, 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 blah. And let's really move towards the truth that we are connected with one another and that the pain and suffering of somebody else is the pain and suffering of myself on a collective conscious level. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what, you know, you're being called to do that. I am. And we'll see a lot more of that, I think.
I think so too. I totally can see it. Totally, totally. And you know, it made me think, as we know, as we've been like, I read your article, which is not public yet, but I did read a draft of it. And you and I have been talking. I really feel like, you know, with so many things happening, I feel like it's all connected.
Yeah.
Like the suicide that we've been seeing. I mean, I, you know, like I said, I think, you know, probably like famous people committing it just brings it on the forefront for us. It happens to many other people.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about it. Okay, I think it does have a lot to do with this whole thing that we don't make connection. We don't make people, you know, having true, real connection. There's too much focus on the money part and the success and all of that. And I think that's what is happening to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've totally lost touch with our humanness and our relationships with one another. You know, we don't spend time working and developing on our relationships anymore, whether they're friendships or they're family relationships, because we're too busy working.
Even romantic ones.
Yeah, even romantic ones, right? We're too busy working to make money so that we can pay for our mortgages and our cars and a bigger car and a bigger mortgage. And
nice, the new phones.
The next iPhone. Oh my God, don't even get me started on the iPhone. even though mine is right here.
I know.
And we're, you know, what's missing from the type of spirituality that is being circulated these days is the values of community and civic discourse and social justice and compassion for people who are suffering. And mostly looking at taking a really honest and sobering look at the systems that are perpetuating scarcity and inequality and oppression in the first place.
Totally.
We have to really look at that. And we have to look at, how am I contributing to that? That's the fucked up question that we have to ask ourselves.
That is very true.
How am I contributing to that? And it's not pretty. not pretty at all. Speaking of iPhone, right? Talk about this iPhone. I don't know if I shared this with you, but there's this thing called planned obsolescence.
No,
which means that in products, they have planned obsolescence means the ending of something. So they plan it. So they plan it so that
I think I know where you're going with this,
right? So that the battery only lasts so long that you have to purchase a new iPhone within a matter of a few years if you want to be able to even use your phone. And we all know how much we rely on it. And if it doesn't work, we're going crazy, right? So we have to get a new iPhone. But where does this piece of plastic go? Where does it go when millions of people are buying new iPhones daily? And for sure, every 2 to 3 years, every time we have to upgrade, where does it go? It doesn't go in our backyard. It goes in third world country. It goes into the backyard of people in poor parts of our country. And this is not just iPhones. It's with lamps. It's with printer cartridges. Printer cartridges. They said it.
Yes. And they're so expensive.
And they are so expensive. And there's a type
more expensive than the printer.
Exactly. They create it so that it automatically triggers your printer to say that it's out of ink, when actually there's probably at least 2 or 3 times more ink inside the cartridge. And so it's all planned. And why is that planned? It's because it makes more money. Because people at the top need to make more money because they have to pay their shareholders. So it's the system that we live under. And what happens with the stuff? Again, I'm going to say over and over, this gets trashed somewhere. And it's harming the planet, and it's harming somebody out there, and our planet simply cannot continue this rapid growth that we've been experiencing for the last 250 years. That's why we have so much of the earthquakes and hurricanes, and you know, we're watching it fall apart before our eyes. Yeah. So there's definitely a time for really big shifts right now.
Totally. Yeah. And, you know, actually, you know, today, I think, I don't know if it was yesterday or today, but anyway, it was recently where I was like, you know what, as much as I don't like what's happening, I am thankful for the Trump administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's really bringing into the light.
Yeah.
A lot of the darkness that many of us have been either afraid of looking at or were completely oblivious on.
Yep, that was me. I admit it right away. I was so oblivious, so oblivious. I was comfortable in my privilege, so comfortable. Yeah. And so I 100% agree with you that there is definitely purpose to the Trump administration, and it's causing we have to look at it now. It's in our face.
It's in your face. Yes. Yes, it is. Because in the thing is that I know for myself, and you and I have talked about it, and I think, I mean, I've shared it in an episode before, like, I know for me, my views on race has very much evolved just in the past few months.
Yeah.
You know, because it's, you know, I think that before I was just like, you know, this privileged girl from Haiti. Yes, I know I'm black, but I was very much kind of colorblind and not really understanding the, you know, not like, why are African Americans acting this way, you know? Mm-hmm. And really, it's like, I think like a lot of us, we've had to wake up. And like, I know I see people that would never talk about politics or anything, say something on social media now, you know? Yeah. And I hope it goes beyond the saying, because I know that just shouting on social media is not going to make a difference. But it's just that really, you know, I'm thankful for this. I actually have to say, I didn't think things would get that bad. But I remember when the day after he won, I was like, okay, you know what? This is happening because some stuff needs to come up, you know? And I think that's why what you're saying, we're definitely going to see a lot of shift, because we're already seeing a lot of shifts, you know?
Yeah.
So we don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if it was, I think it was something that There was something that you said, I don't know if it was yesterday, and I saw somebody commented about the fall of Rome in your...
Oh, I was asking, what would it look like if America were to break the habit of colonialism and empire building? And someone had mentioned that Rome had fell. And I was saying, you know, there, and actually there's a very interesting documentary called The Four Horsemen, which you can find on YouTube. And it shows us the fall of civilizations and the fall of the Roman civilization and how things started. You'll have to watch it to see, because it's really fascinating, because when Rome started to fall...
What's the name again?
The Four Horsemen.
The Four Horsemen, okay.
Yeah, there was very unique things that began to happen at the end of that civilization, like people using money in very, very extremely lavish ways, that sex became something that was... that was like overtly, it just became like a thing that was always in the headlines. There was this thing about how in the Roman civilization near the end that even chefs became famous. Like it actually became a thing where chefs became famous. And so they were comparing that to the current times right now and how we're seeing all these similarities. And this is a civilization I truly believe, and I even wrote this in my article, that if we want to continue to survive as a civilization, that the way that we're operating in terms of our modern capitalism must change, because we just can't continue this way. We don't have the resources to do it anymore.
Totally.
There's no question about it. We have to change.
Oh yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that there's been a whole lot of decline, and we just seem to be going more and more and more. And I think that for many of us, I know for me, I never really liked, and hey, I'm gonna share that, but I know people may not agree with me. I never really liked when any US leader, president or whatever, would be like, oh, we're the greatest nation on earth, because I felt it was very arrogant and very much made it seem like we thought we were better. And I think a lot of Americans embodied that sentiment. Yeah. And now people are like, oh, wait a minute. Like, this is on both parties. This is not just, you know, and I'd be like, you know, I like you, but that statement really needs to just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like, now I think we're getting a wake up call, you know, and it's Absolutely. Not a matter of, and that is the thing, is that, you know, as much as we want to blame the current administration, but there's a lot of things that were not just created, you know, under that current administration, you know, or a particular party being in power.
Yeah. No, this has been going on for decades. And in terms of the civilization ending, our civilization ending, at the end of it has already started many, many, many years ago. And so we're already, like you said, we're already on the decline. And this is not one person's fault. This is not one party's fault. And I think that's something that, that would be the biggest area of spiritual growth, that I think if we could work through that, then, you know, we could start really looking at something positive. If we learned how to stop blaming one another and projecting all of our stuff onto the other party or the other group or the other person, then, and really fully take ownership of what's in our individually, what's in our shadow, and collectively what's in our shadow, then we'll really, really grow, I think.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want to keep you, because I know we're going to be, but I have one, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And I think everybody may benefit from it.
What's
that? There's something I'm seeing currently.
Yeah.
And I have to say that, this whole, family separation is really, has been really affecting me. And I'll share more about that another time. But basically, it's because I used to do that work. I'm very much familiar with that population. Hmm. Okay. And I, myself, what I've been seeing, I've thought about posting that, but I've stepped back because you know how you and I have talked about many times how we've learned to sit with our truth. We've learned to sit with things and not just go ahead and post or jump and say something.
Yeah.
And then do it. So I've been seeing this thing. I've been seeing a lot of people on social media because as Kat shared, her and I, we're both online entrepreneurs. So we do spend a lot of time on social media like Facebook. And I see people telling their, you know, on their timeline saying, if you think that it's okay for these kids to be ripped apart from their parents, to be placed in cages, unfriend me. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing it a lot, like, because, you know, there's this, even this whole thing that said, we don't have a difference in opinion. We have a difference in morality.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, in my moments of anger and rage over this, I've thought about posting that myself, you know, mm-hmm. but I haven't done it because I'm like, I don't know if I, so, but I've been seeing it and I've been thinking about, I don't know if that's, you know, and again, it's not that I want to judge, come from a place of judging or blaming, but it just, it made me think about, okay, can we, it's like, I understand it because like I told you, I've thought about doing that myself. Like today I saw somebody posted something and I'm like, oh my God, do I want to delete them? You know, but then it's just, but then it's like, okay, if we're basically telling each other, we move you from my space because you think this.
I think that's quite dangerous, actually.
I don't, like, for me, but I'm also like, I don't, it's like, I'm very much like in between of it because like I told you, I've thought about it myself, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah. I was like, I wanted to get your thought on that.
I think it's both, you know, if someone triggers you because you recognize that person is just over the top and they're being blatantly obnoxious and you want that person not in your feed, then of course you delete them. I've done that a handful of times. But to delete and clean up your feed just because someone disagrees, I think that's very, very dangerous because we're creating, okay, first of all, Facebook already has its own echo chamber. Have you heard of echo chamber?
No.
Echo chamber it happens on Facebook and it happens now on Google and all of social media. It's where, depending on, you know, who you like and the comments you like and the type of pictures that you, or videos that you share, etc., it will create this chamber where you only see the similar things.
Oh, yes. Okay, I see what you mean. Like basically how, you know, like, for example, I know you and I, like, I usually see your things.
Yeah, so exactly.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah, and we're friends and we comment on each other. And I know for damn sure it's because we also talk behind the scenes that the algorithms are set so that we're always seeing it because we have a lot of interaction with each other. Yeah. But there are also things that just like, it, you know, it's paying attention to the type of comments or type of articles that you share and all of that so that it shows more and more because it wants you to come back. Again, this is not an evil Facebook thing. This is just set up because Facebook wants you to come back again and again. Mm-hmm. So it'll show you things in your feed that you're interested in. So the dangerous part to that is that we only see what we're interested in, and we're not expanding our mind to learn about other people's opinions, or even to know that there's people out there that disagree wholeheartedly with what we might think. And I think that's partially why I was shocked when Trump was elected. I didn't know there was this portion of America that would even want to elect Trump into presidency. But that was because that was in my own bubble. And any type of bubble is not safe. Yeah. Whatever kind of bubble it is, it's...
Yes, totally. That I agree with you.
Yeah, so I think it's important to learn how to make space in our lives for people who disagree with us, number one. And secondly, it's really important to learn how to have conversations with them. You don't have to agree with them, but learn how to have a decent conversation. And lastly, all these conversations do not need to happen on social media, because social media is boom, 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 boom. You're missing out the tone, volume, voice, all of that. And it takes the humanness out of our communication. And so that's why people blow up in fights all the time. And I've seen this happen. I know you have. I've seen so many disagreements ensue on social media. And I'm looking at one person and the other person, and I'm picking up on where one person misunderstood the other person and how it turned into a fight. But I can see how, I mean, but that's what happens. And so let's all just chill, you know? Let's all just chill. Do more research. We need to slow down, because in this digital world where we are in our own echo chambers, and where whether you're on Facebook or Google or Twitter, they want us to click, because when you click, someone makes money. Again, we're back into that. back into that, the system of consumer capitalism. So they want us to click as much as we want. And so we've become this culture of click, 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 click. And so what I'm suggesting is that we slow down. Take your hands off of the mouse, put your hands up behind your head, and chill out. Do a little more research. If you find something that pisses you, an article about Trump or Obama, whatever side you're on, read 3 or 4 articles. That's what I've learned, is to do your due diligence and to look up the sources, and to take your time to do that, because we don't do that anymore online.
No, it's very much like,
click, share, like, you know, and that perpetuates this cycle of sharing false information, and it's dangerous, hands down dangerous.
Totally. So
slow down.
And I think it's very much, I have to say, it's very much ego driven. And I'm talking like really even personally, because recently there was an incident where I posted something. Somebody did not agree with me. He jumped on, said some things, and I replied to him, but I was like, let's agree to disagree. And then he went and jumped on and wrote this long thing.
Yeah.
And I was not happy about it. And I was like, you know what? Let me sit on it. And let me tell you, it's been over 2 weeks. I haven't said anything. I did not even delete his comment. And the other day I was like, well, I don't know if I wanted, and then my ego, I knew it was my ego who said, oh, he's gonna think that you like basically what he said is right about you. That was my ego. And then I realized, okay, do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? Exactly. Or do I just want to be at peace? So I didn't even like, so I think it's very much ego driven.
It's all ego driven. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's where it becomes dangerous.
Yeah, definitely. Well,
not
I know
all the time, but some of the time. Anyway.
It is very much. And that's why, you know, I was like, I'm going to get your thoughts on that thing, because especially like right now, there's a lot of hot buttons are being pushed, and people are very much like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So totally. Okay. So I'm going to ask you one more question, which, cause I don't know how are we doing on timing for you?
Let's do this one question and then we'll wrap it up.
That's what I thought. Me too. I have to get. So this is like one of the questions we're not going to go all into it. So what do you believe the world needs more of, and why?
I think I just kind of said it. I think it needs more of us, more people the world needs us to make more space for people who disagree. And I could say all this woo woo foo foo stuff. Oh, the world needs more love, blah, 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 blah. But in a very practical sense, I want to be very practical here, because I think everyone, whether you're online or not, I think everyone can make more room in their life for people that don't agree with them. And that means having a conversation with someone. they say something that you disagree with, but maybe that means having a conversation out of curiosity. Hey, what did you mean by that? And what are your thoughts on that? And what makes you think that? But coming from a place of curiosity, not from a place of trying to change someone's mind. That's what we need. We need to stop trying to change people's mind. We need to start trying to understand where they're coming from. What's your pain? Why do you feel that way? And that would be peace.
So, you know, well, I did say that was going to be the last question. It's just that when you said that, it made me think of something.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, some people would say, and maybe that's something that you and I can, you know, like we can talk about, but it's just that it made me wonder that if I agree with the whole thing about changing people's minds, mm-hmm. but at the same time too, I'm just wondering, like, for example, if somebody says, well, you know what, I'm racist and I think that, you know, Black people shouldn't be alive, or they yeah. shouldn't live by me.
Yeah.
They shouldn't live in the same neighborhood as me. How do you deal with something like that? Because then it's obviously you can't force somebody to change their mind, but no. I don't know.
I would ask from a place of curiosity, like what makes you feel that way? Did something happen? What happened to you? And coming from that place of curiosity with that energy, mm-hmm. that person will feel it. And then they will, and hopefully they will open up and tell mm-hmm. you. And then you have a conversation. That's just it. You don't have to change him. But if you yes. can just open up a conversation, that's all. And you and I talk about this all the time, how we feel both so blessed that you and I are able to simply have a conversation with each other, right? Sometimes you and I don't even agree. You know, we mostly agree, but sometimes on certain things we're slightly different. And
yes,
just the fact, yeah. And I love that.
We're able to have the conversation.
Yeah, but just the fact that we're able to have the conversation, I get to understand where you're coming from, and I deepen my understanding of your perspective, and it just makes me a better person. That's it. And I have never tried to change your mind. I don't want to, because I love the difference in opinions. And that's easy for us because we like each other. But you know, if you're talking about a bigot who's spewing these racial slurs, and that's, you know, for the person that's on the spiritual path, and this is for the people in this audience who are watching, right?
Totally. Yes.
That's what we're being called to do. If you're on the spiritual path, then part of that means learning how to accept people into our lives that we don't agree with 100%, and making room for them and being curious. You don't have to agree. You shouldn't agree, but to open up the conversation is tremendously, tremendously healing.
Totally. Thank you. I love that. I think that's a great way of ending this. Like, no, it makes total sense. I love it. Totally love it. So Kat, let people know a little bit, if you want to share more, a little bit about your work and where they can connect with you. And I know you have your musings, which are like your stories.
Oh, yeah. You know, for now you can, because I'm going through so much change right now, I'm thinking about starting a Patreon. You can also work with me one-on-one. And I'm kind of like, you know, because there's so much change going on, but definitely, I'm working on doing some videos and podcasts and a lot of writing. So you can go to katkim.com, katkim.com, and find out more about me on there. You could sign up for my newsletter at katkim.com/musings. And I talk about lots of stuff. I send out rants and sermons and love letters and just whatever is on my mind. I'm kind of random, and I cuss a lot too, so it's explicit material, beware.
great. Actually, everything that she just shared is under the video on my podcast. Under the video on my website. So if you're listening to us through Apple Podcasts, you can visit my website, which I believe the link is there. It's www.lovelikecoaching.com, or it'll take you right into that page where CAC is there. And if not, just go to Soulful Conversations with Najeda and click on the episode with Kat Kim, and you'll be able to see below the video all her website info, her musings, which she just told you about, which is her free gift, where you could subscribe to her newsletter. And also you'll be able to connect with her on her social media pages. So thank you. And if you enjoyed this, we'd love to hear from you. Even if you didn't enjoy it, we'd love to hear some feedback. So listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please give us a review, rate the podcast, leave a feedback for us. And also on my website, below the video, if you're watching us below the video or on YouTube, leave us a comment. We'll get back to you. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear feedback. And if you enjoyed this and you don't want to miss any other episode when I get back in about a month or so, subscribe to my email list, which also you can do that by, well, first, if you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, you'll get notified when a new episode is available. You want to, you know, if you like my energy and you'd love to know more about my work and get more stories and truths and inspiration from me, subscribe to my email list. So below all Kat's information, you'll see the box, enter your name, your email address. And once you do so, you'll get my free gift, which is my 7 questions to reconnect with yourself and align with your mission and vision. And you'll get weekly tips and inspiration from me. So that is all for us today. Until next time, love and light. And thank you again, Kat. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you. Yes.